Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You seen what he did on Facebook, right?
Listen, I'm gonna make a motherfucking emoji like this. Look.
Donna D. Beyonce
Production. BoxingVoice.com. All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got. I want what Mayweather got. You done bust your ass like Mayweather.
It was balls, bro. No fight.
My life has always been a fight.
I sacrificed a lot to get to where I got to.
You don't think you're being overly critical to a guy that took a body shot and go down?
That's not pressure. That's just my style. My
style
is down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice. Another afternoon edition. Breaking news. Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs. The contract is signed, sealed, and delivered. And the boxing bookies have already decided who's the favorite. This one is going to be opening up as a 8-1 favorite. Damn. Golovkin is an 8-1 favorite. So we're going to head on over to Florida so the good doctor could explain that all for us since he's a big better. Let's head on over there.
Boxing them think what's going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this side.
We're going to head on over to a doctor. The Sunshine State.
Boxing MD.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to me? You have to be honest with yourself.
I don't think we were surprised who was the favorite, but to some people, I guess the amount in which Golovkin's favored would be surprising to them, right? And I think, you know, we'll go more into it during the show. And again, you guys hit thumbs up and like because, you know, we're giving you guys tons of content. But you got to put in perspective the other guys in which he was favored against and whatever, and including Canelo, who obviously has an open bet right now. He is a 4-1 favorite over Canelo. So if Canelo's if he's a 4-1 favorite over Canelo, it makes sense that he's an 8-1 favorite against Daniel Jacobs.
Now, what was he in the fight versus Kell Brook?
See, this one was the most shocking one because this one kind of throws off the conventional wisdom trend. He was a 6-1 favorite against Kell Brook. Some bookies even had him a little closer, like a 5.5-1, which honestly, I don't know why they were so close. Maybe it enticed a lot of UK guys to put money on Kell Brook because they believe that he somehow was going to beat him. But that to me was a very shocking odds for me, in my opinion.
Now, obviously, I'm going to assume that they had Kell Brook slightly closer because at least he hadn't been knocked out. Daniel Jacobs, unfortunately, has been knocked out by Dmitry Pirog. And do you think that that is those extra 2 points?
Yeah, that's the thing about Kell Brook. Like, Kell Brook, he didn't necessarily have the obvious loss where he got knocked out. The chin wasn't as questionable. I just didn't really see how a super talented, even a large welterweight, would be Golovkin, who I think is obviously a much more he's a larger fighter. And even a great welterweight, we'll never know what Kell Brook will be. Or maybe we'll see what Kell Brook will be. A great welterweight moving up to fight a great middleweight, they should always lose. So, yeah, I think that could be a factor. But in my opinion, this is a fight that I think if you have some extra money, right, and you give me an example, the over and under will be more, I guess, more of an interesting thing to bet on. That's not available yet. But if you have some extra money, if you could afford to risk $800, right, because I think this is a guaranteed win for Golovkin. Obviously, some people disagree. But what that $800 brings you is you'll win $100. And that means you essentially get the pay-per-view for free. You get a 12-pack of beer and you can get a pizza. So, you know, that's kind of how I see it as.
That's too much of a risk. I don't care.
I said if you have $800 to spare, because obviously you don't want to bet money that you can't afford to bet, right?
Yeah, no, that's a risk, though. 800 to make 100. You know, Daniel Jacobs could land something. Golovkin's been hit by lesser opposition. And Jim Lampley, I hate to quote him, but he's been hit in the face. And one day that face shot is going to turn into a temple shot. And if anyone knows how to throw a hook, it's definitely Daniel Jacobs. The question really here is, can he take the power of Golovkin? But, you know, what a lot of even hardcores may not know, Boxing MD, is that Team Jacobs has a bit of experience with Gennady Golovkin. I don't know how much that's going to help them or what it adds, but Curtis Stevens is trained by Andre Rozier. Andre Rozier is the trainer of Daniel Jacobs. So they've been in there. You know, obviously Stevens has sparred with Jacobs. Maybe the game plan, maybe Rozier could have seen something. I don't know. But it's definitely an interesting fight. I won't say, I mean, I don't give a fuck if you lent me $800 or you gave it to me. I'm not putting $800 to make $100. That's not enough.
No, I agree. That's the thing. That's why a lot of these fights that the odds are so wide on, sometimes it's hard. Like, you have to have a lot of money to make money in this type of fight. But the thing is that a lot of people are like, well, then if I get, you know, I don't know, plus 650 for Jacobs, I only need to put $100 to win $650. They go, oh, it's worth putting the money on the heavy underdog. It's not when you really don't think in your heart that he has a chance to win. So you're just wasting that $100, even if the odds are better for him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally agree. Well,
so, yeah, and it'll be more interesting to talk about the over under rounds, which I said I cannot find them available yet. But I think that's more of something that's debatable. But again, but Ness, like if you think that it, like to me, let's just say you have a lot and you go, if someone lent me $800, because that's a lot of money to risk for a lot of people, obviously. But if you see it as free money, I don't know why you wouldn't take it. That's like my opinion. That's how a lot of people make a lot of money betting.
That's what I'm saying. It's not free. Like $800 is a lot to risk. We cannot act like, you know, a lot of us sit around here and say, oh, Daniel Jacobs is a great boxer. Even I say it, right? Because he's done so well in the amateurs, right? But I think that, you know, at this point, we have to start admitting that he's getting by on his power. It's really what's been carrying Jacobs in throughout his career. Like, you know, when's the last time he outboxed someone? If he was going to outbox anyone, it would have been Mora, since Mora's this, you know, awkward style. And that was a slugfest. So Jacobs, he can catch Gennady. He can hit Gennady. Gennady gets hit. He was hit by Monroe. He was hit by Wade. And it's not like they're hitting him one time. They're hitting him with combinations. But they don't have the power that Jacobs does.
Yeah, so I think that the fight in which yourself, you talk about this all the time, that made you answer the question, is Golovkin's chin for real, is the Curtis Stevens fight.
Yes.
And I think it's fair to say that some people maybe even argue that if Curtis Stevens hits, like, I'm just talking about the pure punching power when they land flush, that Curtis Stevens hits harder than Daniel Jacobs. But it's fair to say that they're in the same ballpark. Now, unless you think that Golovkin's chin has deteriorated so much in the last few years that if Daniel Jacobs lands flush that he would get hurt, I think that Golovkin, even if he gets hit clean by Jacobs, would be able to do the right thing and withstand that type of shot. Now, obviously, the question on the other end is where I think Golovkin's power is so real that he could easily be knocked down or even maybe knocked out with like a jab. The clean jab.
Well, we've seen Jamal Charlo put down Julian Williams with a jab, and we've seen Gennady Golovkin control about 70-80% of the fight versus David Lemieux with a jab. So if anyone's capable, it is Gennady. But that's where the detractors of Golovkin come in. That's where they say that the slickness of Jacobs should allow him to find offense in Gennady's offense, right? Like if Gennady is going to jab the way that he did in the Lemieux fight, then Jacob should be able to counter since they call him a slick black fighter, right? I don't know why I called you Lemieux. You believe that shit? But right, MD? I mean, should he be able to counter Gennady's jab?
Countering
at the very least, come over the top with a right hand, right? A lead.
Yeah. Well, it's more, countering and timing a jab. I hear what you're saying. I think that Daniel Jacobs is he's quick, but I don't necessarily think that he has the level of a jab that I think a lot of people attribute him with. The Quillen win, I think, was more of a he landed quicker at the right time and stopped Quillen early when Quillen was. And I don't, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from that win, but I just don't think Quillen's head was in that fight. And Quillen at times has, shown that even obviously Andy Lee hits hard, that Quillen could be dropped. So I don't know. If you take away that Quillen win, I don't think that Daniel Jacobs has devastating boxing power, or punching power, or necessarily elite boxing skills.
Why would we take away that win?
Because I told you, I said about the factors where I think that Peter Quillen seemed to be mentally checked out of that fight before the fight, talking about other things other than boxing. Right now,
don't recall that. I recall him coming off of the Zafara massacre, which some people weren't happy with, him being in with such a low level opponent, and hence the knockout.
Who he chose to fight after he fought Andy Lee, which, he didn't look good in that Andy Lee fight. He definitely didn't look good in that Andy Lee fight.
Yeah, but I mean, a fighter on a decline and a fighter not looking good and a fighter being knocked out are two different things. I don't know. I think that's a very Jacobs, and he deserves the credit for that.
But I think Daniel Jacobs was always the type of fighter that would talk about life past boxing consistently, whether it be for his, all the real estate investment he said he made, or his clothing line. So I don't know. I'm just assessing this fight, because I think a lot of us were surprised. Obviously, I don't think many people had Daniel Jacobs knocking Peter Quillen out in the first round. So, not taking this win away from Daniel Jacobs, it's a good win. But if I'm looking forward to assess their attributes moving forward, I have to take that in consideration, right?
I mean, I give him credit because you're right. I wasn't expecting that to happen. I thought the same thing that most of us think in this fight. Let's just be honest. I thought Peter Quillen, with the power that he had showed, with all the knockdowns that he scored over Ndam and Fernando Guerrero and, Gabriel Rosado, all those fights that he had, that he demonstrated that his power was at least legitimate. Jacobs was the one to get the knockout. I thought that Quillen would go in there and stop Jacobs.
Yes. So
I give him a lot of credit.
I hear you on that, but maybe if you're comparing power alone, that's fair, right? Like, I hear you on that. But I think that the difference, at least offensively, between Quillen and Golovkin, not to mention the fact that I think that obviously boxing pedigree with the jab, with the punch variety, is better for Golovkin. It's output that I think Peter Quillen sometimes doesn't necessarily put, when he seems to be worried about someone like Andy Lee hitting back as hard. I think that he chose to keep his hands in his pocket, which at times he was in, his feet were in position with all the pump, with all the head movement and faking. His feet were in position to let his hands go against Andy Lee again. I'm sorry, Andy Lee, but he just was hesitant because of that power coming back. Now, when Golovkin is aware of someone's power, he just chooses to fight differently. He's not necessarily hesitant to throw shots. Like, he wasn't going to sit there and let David Lemieux get in the range to consistently land punches. Although David Lemieux did land a few clean punches on him, because it is a boxing match. But he just changes how he fights. And I think in this fight, if he gets hit with something that makes him, that makes him feel that he needs to change his style, he will. So I think that he has that the change of gears or the changing game plans that he will adjust if somehow Danny Jacobs' quickness and power affects him.
Look, I think that we're lingering on Peter Quillen and how well of a win it is for Jacobs. I think that you're being overly critical. Really quick, I want to sum it up. He's been in the ring with the likes of Ndam, who we just seen score a tremendous knockout over the weekend, who obviously demonstrates power. He was able to withstand the power of Lemieux for quite some time. Okay. He's a durable opponent. And he didn't knock out Peter Quillin. Okay. Fernando Guerrero, I don't think he has the power to knock out Peter Quillin, but he's a common name that's been in with high-level opponents, and he couldn't do it. Gabriel Rosado could not do it. Andy Lee, who does have power and is known to have power, he could not do it. So if Daniel Jacobs did it, I don't understand why we're lingering on this topic for about 10 minutes when he deserves the credit for knocking out a former WBO champion in Peter Quillin.
That's fair, but is it also not fair to say that if you look at the rest of Daniel Jacobs' wins, that they are very – people talk about Golovkin fighting not the highest level of opposition. Ness, just you could box wreck it. Just look at who he's beat besides Peter Quillin. So you
all right. No. Understandable. Understandable, but who has he beat? Caleb Truax, again, not a world beater. And people would laugh if that name was on Gennady Golovkin's resume. I do understand. But let's just be clear. Between you and I, we're both level-headed people. We understand that there is a Caleb Truax in Gennady Golovkin's resume as well. Now, what Caleb Truax represents is a durable opponent. Check who he's been in the ring with. And Daniel Jacobs was able to stop him. Sergio Mora, another guy that no one really stops. Daniel Jacobs was able to drop him multiple times and stop him. Yes, he got dropped. I'm not picking Jacobs. I'm not saying he's going to beat Golovkin. What we are debating is that, yes, 8-1, I'm not going to put $800 to make 100 because I think that Daniel Jacobs does have the power to maybe land that shot. If a Dominic Wade could land, if a Daniel Gill could land, remember Daniel Gill landed in an exchange. What if Jacob is landing in an exchange? We don't know, but let's keep going. Peter Quillin, again, someone that hasn't been stopped. Jacob stopped him. His power is real. Fletcher also, wasn't Jared Fletcher in the ring with another common opponent? Can't he also be used as a barometer for Jacobs, showing that his power is also real? Giovanni Lorenzo, go through his resume. He's a tough veteran. He's been in the ring with multiple people. See how many stopped him. I'm not saying Jacobs' power is on the level of Gennady Golovkin. Obviously, Golovkin has been in there with the opposition and more frequently to let us know his power is for real. The facial expressions that these guys are making when they're being hit by Golovkin. The corner. Everybody's forever going to remember Billy Briscoe telling his father, you know, Gabriel Rosado was going to die in the ring. So, yes, let's not second guess Jacobs yet, especially with such a big fight on the horizon.
Yeah, I'm doing the producer role for a second that Jared Fletcher was in the ring with Billy Joe Saunders. That's who it was that stopped him previously. And I don't know what round that was because I'm not signed into BoxRec, but, you know, I don't think Billy Joe Saunders is necessarily known as the biggest puncher, although he does have boxing skills. So, yeah, I hear you on that. But, again, I think the most shocking thing that Daniel Jacobs has displayed as far as continuing to question his overall ability as a boxer was that the Sergio Mora dropped him. And as much as people talk about Golovkin getting hit, he's never been hurt and he's never been dropped.
Well, that's the thing, MD. Again, we're not arguing the more durable fighter or the durable chin. We're arguing betting $800 to make 100 and trying to say that it's a sure bet. That's what you said. You told your listeners, if you got the money, bet 800 to make 100 when I think that Jacob possesses enough power where those people will lose $800. Listen, we chopped it up enough. Let's jump out to the street. Suleiman the Scholar, I'm sure we can hear you now, do we not? Oh, my God. Is this serious? Suleiman? 908. Talk to me. Well, I'm going to go to George Dampierre. Talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the betting odds, 8-1. This isn't the first time I think the bookies tend to exaggerate a little bit. I think this past weekend they actually had Hopkins a 2-1 favorite. So I don't think we can really put too much stock into much of these guys. But I wanted to address something that MD is trying to hit at, because MD, I'm not actually coming at you, because I kind of am somewhat, I wouldn't say a fan of Golovkin, but I like him. So apparently you would be upset, right, if the fact that, you know, at, say Golovkin beats Danny Jacobs, and he doesn't necessarily get the credit because people think that, well, he was supposed to do what he did, right? Like, you'd be upset that he didn't get the credit for what he did against Jacobs, right?
Well, when I say that he's doing what he is doing, what I expect personally, that's my opinion of what I expect of him. But again, I rate Golovkin higher than the people who are already detracting. So my level of expectation may be higher than other people's level of expectation because of that.
My only point I'm really making here is just the fact that I think we are selling Jacobs short, because if you're trying to break down his best win against Peter Quillen and talk about, you know, other activities, I'm not really buying that. I'm not really buying that, you know, Quillen was really, his mind wasn't there. I mean, this was a local rivalry. Why wouldn't his mind be set? And this was a very hyped fight. So to try to, you know, at least knock what Jacobs, his best win, would be pretty much doing what a Golovkin detractor would be doing anyway.
Listen, I'm not saying this to discredit, and I know it sounds that way, but my whole thing is that if you choose to look at that single fight in itself, you might view Daniel Jacobs as this destroyer, right? Because he knocked out a guy who's never been stopped, who actually has never lost in one round, right? A guy that a lot of people argue is better than anybody on Golovkin's win. But my thing is that it's, you have to look at his whole career to assess his power overall. And I don't know, like, I don't know what Ness is talking about, but I for sure have heard a lot of things about Peter Quillen talking about life after boxing before this big fight. Maybe sometimes when a guy gets hit and a guy, you know, he doesn't have the motivating factor to get up and to come off the canvas and to come back and win the fight. It's sometimes guys do it and some guys don't do it. But that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Daniel Jacobs doesn't hit hard.
MD, all I can say is I don't recall Peter Quillen talking about life after boxing until he got knocked out. And that's why he hasn't been back since the knockout. And he's going with some bit of a resurgence by adding a different trainer, which would be another element. Where fighters lose, they get tattoos or trains trainers. This is Peter Quillen acting that way now. I don't remember that in, like George said, in the biggest fight of his career, where it was two quote-unquote guys from New York City, the battle for Brooklyn boxing. Nah. Come on, man.
Yeah, and I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, I think, like I said, I give him a better chance. I think Jamie Jacobs's power is, of course, not on par with Golovkin's, but it's definitely something worth respecting. So, like I said, I at least give Danny Jacobs a 30-40% chance of winning. Not much. Well,
then people who have your similar thoughts should put money on Daniel Jacobs, because that's one of those fights where the odds outweigh the risk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. All right, but that's it for me, guys. Good show.
George, thanks for calling in. Let's go out to Scorsese. Talk to me.
Yo, I think even more shocking than the 8-1. This ain't shocking, 8-1 odds. But when y'all did that interview with Loeffler, he said, man, we took this fight without a rematch clause. That's how sure Triple G is he going to knock Danny Jacobs out. And I'm just as sure as him. Loeffler lied to y'all. He was like, it's a mandatory. We can't have a rematch clause. Well, what did Vladimir Klitschko have with Fury then? And you didn't he promote that?
That wasn't a mandatory.
Yes, it was. They both were mandatory. Was mandatory.
Well, this is different because we're talking in an entirely different scenario where someone has a junior belt and someone has the, I guess, senior belt. So they're trying to, I guess, go away with the belt. So it's a different circumstance.
Consolidate is the word the WBA.
Yeah, consolidate.
They're not forced to do it. They came to a deal. They didn't. Triple G don't even want a rematch clause because he know he in there with a feather chin. That's what he in there with. He with sort of the kind of 160. This dude been sleep on the, well, not sleep, getting waved off on the canvas, and then he come back and he get a knockout of a dude who was on the canvas like 2 times the fight before, hurt several times, and people, oh, his power, his power. Let's not forget, Truax won 11 rounds. I think Fletcher went about 5 or 6 rounds. A dude with one leg just went like 6 rounds. That power overrated. Golovkin got to walk through, dude, man. Like, what's Pirat took the best right hand Jacobs could give him, but he wouldn't, it wasn't nothing on it because he was going backwards. He ain't had no time to set up and do big things. Quillen just sit up there and he was catching the punch. He was basically standing straight in front of him. All that power. Quillen, the type dude, got an AK-47 and he looking to buy a damn silencer for it. That's how he fight. The Andy Lee fight, putting all those shots together at first and then he get hit, he put a silencer on that thing. He ain't want to shoot no more. He ain't want to make no noise no more. Jacobs getting walked through. I'm thinking 8-1 about right. It's just a bad division, to be honest with you. Him being the second in division, he don't fight nobody. You can go down a list and name 10 to 12 people he haven't fought in the whole division. Shouldn't be able to do that, especially when he's been boxing as long as he is. He deserved to get knocked out. Holding out on all the money, didn't want a rematch clause. He trying to take that man titles by negotiating. He deserved to get his ass knocked out. I'm rooting for Triple G. I mean, it is what it is. I ain't no Golovkin fan, but he deserved to knock old boy out. That's my comment.
Well, all right, Scorsese, thank you for calling in.
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you agree to an extent that obviously the rematch clause would benefit Golovkin more because Golovkin is the A side going into the fight? And if he loses, I think a lot of people would want, you know, they'd be questioning his overall ability, thus wanting to make the rematch. So do you think Scorsese has a point?
No, I don't. Golovkin is the A side now, so I don't understand how he wouldn't be the A side if he had a rematch clause and lost.
Well, I mean, that's, I don't know about the how the business, and I agree that he would not have the position to argue, but that's what I'm saying, that not having a rematch clause puts you in a less advantageous bargaining position because you don't have, you know, he could say, fuck it, I'm not fighting you. I'm going to fight someone else right now. I'll fight you later when I want to. With the rematch clause, he has to fight him next. I don't know. I mean, each rematch clause is entirely different. Obviously, they're different legal and contract terms, but yeah.
All right, let's get out to these phone lines. We got 929. You're live on TBV. Who's this?
Yo, this is Too Tough. Yo, listen, I'm putting $100 on Jacobs anyway because I'm going to make that 650 or whatever. Yo, Jacobs is a two-sided fighter. He fights from the left side and the right side, and I don't think Triple G ever faced anybody with power that did that. And, you know, that's one thing, man. I don't know, man. Quillen, never been stopped before. Mora, never been stopped before he fought Jacobs. Truex, never been stopped before he fought Jacobs. So, like, he stopped people that has never been stopped before. So, y'all underestimating, well, not y'all specifically, but a lot of people underestimating, saying it's a wash that Triple G is definitely going to go over him. It's the time that he respected the dude's power, like Lemieux, he kept the jab at. I don't think Jacobs is going to allow him to keep him at bay like that. I think Jacobs is going to be in that. He's a taller guy. He's going to be able to come in more so than Lemieux was able to. So, I mean, I also am biased, you know, Jacobs from Brooklyn. So I'm definitely riding with my BK homie. So that's all I got to say. Y'all hit them thumbs up buttons, yo.
So will you be watching the fight? Like, because, you know, you think Daniel Jacobs has a good chance to win. Will you be watching the fight, like, you know, nervous because you know that the power Golovkin brings a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be an exciting fight on both sides because I know Jacobs can hit and Golovkin can hit. So any punch at any moment could end the fight. And that's what's going to make it more exciting. Like I said, I've said the reasons why I think Jacobs might have some success against Triple G, the height advantage, the fact that he could fight southpaw and orthodox, hitting hard from
but
both
too
sides.
Tough.
He doesn't just have the one punch.
Too tough. What about those hardcore Gennady Golovkin fans who love to be, you know, hateful, and they're going to say, what? Why he couldn't outbox Prague then? Or P-Rock?
Yo, Yo, first of all, that's a whole bunch of nonsense. Pitrock, he had cancer, first of all. He just lost his grandmother, so his mind might have not been in there. Since MD was talking about people's minds and fights, that could have been a big, major factor. He was winning that fight against Pitrock before he got clipped. And he ain't getting knocked out. We all seen it. I think you said it before. Like, he jumped up when at the count of four or something. So he wasn't, like, clearly knocked out. They didn't need to put some smelling salt on his nose or ice packs under his neck or anything. So all of that, and that was 6 years ago. I mean, when is his that not going to be considered him not being Chinny?
Well, listen, I agree where you're coming from, but then a lot of people didn't do the same thing when they were assessing David Lemieux's circumstances in which he lost to Rubio, because he was still green. He seemed to gas. He seemed to have weight cutting issues. And I'm not saying that those are, obviously we see in the fight, right? It wasn't competitive, but I think that a lot of people in that fight chose not to do what you're doing in, you know, your assessment.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like I said, people want to constantly use that Pitrock fight against Danny Jacobs. That was, like I said, all of those other mitigating circumstances. And David Lemieux.
But what about Mora dropping him, man?
Yeah, that's the thing. Too tough. Mora dropped.
And this is, listen.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Too tough. Wait a minute. Too tough. Wait a minute. You got to understand, Mora is a guy that doesn't have power. And him dropping Jacobs, it raises eyebrows. It makes him suspect.
No, I mean, I got that. And if anybody sees that fight, they know that Danny Jacobs was a little too hasty jumping in once he got Mora hurt. He wanted to end the fight quickly because he knew those bigger fights was on the horizon. He got clipped with a clean shot, but he fell on his hands, right, which indicates he ain't get hit hard. He got up and he went forward as soon as he got up and went on the attack.
He didn't get hit hard because Mora doesn't hit hard.
All right, Too Tough. Right? What about this?
So he didn't get hit by the punch.
Too Tough. What about this?
He didn't get hurt by that punch. He got clipped, but go ahead.
What about this? We're going to – me and MD are going to be hypothetical here, and we're going to say, yeah, we're going to believe Too Tough. This guy learned from his mistakes, MD, so he's going to go in there, and he's not going to rush in like he did with Mora. But that's what David Lemieux did.
Yeah.
David Lemieux did that. David Lemieux tried to be conservative and cautious and end up costing himself the fight.
I think the best way to beat Golovkin is not try to fight off the back foot. I think it's to try to pressure him a little bit. And I don't
the way that Brooke did. The way that Brooke did. I hope that Jacob sees what Brooke did and tries to get some of that.
Right. That's what I think he's gonna do.
Y'all getting it next, boy.
Brooke could hit harder than Brooke. You know, so He could pop harder than I think he saw that Brooke fight and says, okay, I need to go forward.
But is he going to go into the fire like Brooke?
Exactly.
He's going to go into the fire like Brooke. Brooke was a fireman in there. But listen, Too Tough. And I call back in on another show. We got another call.
One second. And even in that Brooke fight where Brooke did, I had him winning one round. I could give you Brooke two rounds. I know one UK judge had him winning three rounds, which I don't really see possible. But in that first round, Kel Brook's chin hasn't ever been in question. He was hurt with the hook, and you saw
double left hook though. It was to the body, then to the head. That almost put him down.
Yeah. He's gonna like you said, for Daniel Jacobs to win, he's gonna have to be willing to get into the fire and survive it, which you know is a tall order.
Hey, Too Tough. Sorry to cut you short, but baby, you know this is a little spontaneous show. Listen, somebody in the chat said that you are Daniel Jacobs' PR manager. That's hilarious. I know you're laughing at that one. 202, you're live. DC, right? Who's this? Marcus?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Good show. Good middle of the day show, man. I'm home working. Hey, look, this is for Too Tough, Ness, and MD. Listen, this is the main difference, y'all. Yeah, Danny Jacobs got power, but which fighter has Danny Jacobs fought that you don't think Triple G would have stopped the dude, too? I can look at some fighters that Triple G stopped that I wouldn't have never predict if Danny Jacobs fight them dudes that he'll stop them. Danny Jacobs doesn't stop Curtis Stevenson, and I don't think he gets by or stops David Lemieux, even if he wins that fight. The other part about power, which people miss, is Ernie Shavers hit hard as hell. Ernie Shavers hit harder than Mike Tyson. But being able to implement your power through a boxing technique in which the other fighter doesn't see it is what really determines power.
John Molina hits hard. You saw what happened to him versus TC.
With an uppercut. Charlo hit a Williams with an uppercut he didn't see, right? So just studying beating on people's gloves just because you're powerful don't mean you're going to knock somebody out. Look at the sweeping left and then the right uppercut that Golovkin shot on Rubio that he never saw the right uppercut when he got in trouble. That's what not just power, but boxing technique to implement power. Everybody who I've seen Jacobs knock out, he never manufactured the knockout. It was always dudes that was in a slugfest with him. So anybody who gets in a slugfest with Jacobs, yeah, they don't get cracked. I mean, you can crack if you stand in front of him and get cracked. Perot dropped the man twice. The first time he had him stupid, he jumped up at four. Too tough, must have forgot. The second one, he crumbled him. He put him in a pile of, he put him in a yoga position. The thing about being chinny is your chin doesn't get better because you get older or more wise than a fighter. Let's go to Mir Khan. His reaction to getting hit hard has happened the same way every time. Every time he's gotten hit, his body has reacted the same no matter what weight class he was in. You can't fix chinny. He's chinny. He's chinny, so if more feather-fisted ass from the contender gets him down and hitting him clean, what do you think going to happen when Golovkin hit him? Now, am I bad, man? I wouldn't put 800 up to get that 100, but those odds are you know, they for betters, but Vegas knows. Vegas ain't get rich putting odds out there that don't work. So if Golovkin, they say Golovkin ain't doing favorite, I think that Golovkin, for real, is going to beat him. And I think Jacobs has a 1 out of 8 chance to beat Golovkin. And I think that the odds reflect that.
Mm. Well, Marcus, thank you for calling. Man, that was a great call.
Yes, and I think something that I've said this before, and I think you've said this before too, is to have a chance to beat Golovkin, you have to have two things minimally. You have to have power, and you have to have a chin.
Yeah, but MD, look at it like this. You yourself, you box. I know a lot of these guys give you shit. They don't know. You might hit them with a right hook or something, right? Well, no, you would be hitting with a left hook because you're orthodox. But the point is, don't you gain confidence from being in the ring, not only with opposition, but stable mates? That in question. How many times you think Curtis Stevens and Daniel Jacobs have been in the ring throughout their entire life together?
Let's not, Ness.
What? What?
Besides
you don't
the
think, you don't
besides think besides this, no, Ness. Curtis Stevens in that fight was beaten into submission.
Yes. Okay, MD, but he had success. He had success. And my point to you is
he landed punches that wasn't having success.
He had success. Stop, man. Stop. He had success.
Okay? Was there any? No.
Oh, my God. So punches landed is not success?
Landing a few punches on Golovkin, which were clean.
What the fuck? A few? Come on, MD.
I'm going to bring up the punch stats for you to
Why do you act this way? I mean, damn.
Act which way? Are you crazy? Yes.
Where you can see no flaws in Golovkin.
Now I just said, I just said, my God.
Stevens didn't put hands on him.
I just said the way you need to have a chin and you have to have power to beat Golovkin, and the way to beat him is pressuring him. That's why some people would pick Canelo over him, because Canelo has power and a chin. That's why I'd give Canelo a chance to beat Golovkin. I'm not giving Jacobs that chance because of that.
My point, because my point is, if I am Daniel Jacobs and Curtis Stevens is my stablemate and I have already accomplished more than him as an amateur on our ways up, and then we turn professional and I accomplish more than him as a professional on our way up, and he got the Gennady Golovkin opportunity before me and I got to watch that, I would see things that I feel I can do better than a guy that I've been in the ring with all my life. I'm not saying that that makes Daniel Jacobs win, but it can add confidence at least. How could you not at least see that?
No, that's somewhat of an argument, and I agree. I hear you're coming from, but again, I think that what adds more confidence to what add more confidence to Daniel Jacobs is for him either fighting Golovkin off a Peter Quillen win, or for or beat someone, I guess, of a closer degree to Golovkin than beating Sergio Mora. I think that, especially being dropped by Sergio Mora, I think that's the biggest indicator in which he sees with the power. I think that he's going to be aware of that power, and I think that's going to cause him to not necessarily want to jump into the fire. But again, this is why they fight, and we'll see it played out.
I think that the Mora fights, if anything, add activity, which is needed if you're going to be going into a Golovkin fight. But it isn't enough activity, because the Mora fight is his only fight of 2000.
Okay, so should I share the punch stats with the audience of Golovkin, Curtis Stevens? It's important. I mean, do you want to hear them?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Golovkin landed overall punches. Golovkin landed 293 punches.
How many did he throw?
794.
How many did Stevens throw?
He threw 303 punches and landed 97 punches.
All right, that's a third of what he threw.
32%.
That's more punches than fucking Tyson Fury landed on Vladimir Klitschko.
Again, let's not compare heavyweights to middleweights. And let's also not see that, and I know people are going to call me a fanboy for saying this, but let's not take in consideration the fact that Curtis Stevens brought a casket to the weigh-ins and was being really, really, really I guess questionable with some of his and he was building a fight, but it seems like Golovkin didn't like that. So I think that he just unloaded punches to the head and to the body. I was toying with him. Again, people call me a fanboy for that, but again, that's my opinion of that. But again, someone who landed three times the amount of punches on his opponent and beat them into submission, I don't think had much success other than proving to the world and people like yourself that Golovkin's chin is for real. Because even when he gets hit, and even when he was getting hit against Kell Brook, his fucking head is there and his eyes are there. He's not turning his head. He's always in position. So even when he gets countered, he's in the right place to recover.
Except when he got launched by Kell Brook, right?
And then he came back to Earth.
Well, I mean, you should be earthing 147 pounder. You know what I mean? Let me get out to some cold phone calls here. 404, you're up. Who's this?
UT Kid from Atlanta, man. I agree with that last caller. Caller a couple calls back said you can't fix Chinny. I mean, it's just there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, I've been saying that for a while. I didn't think the fight would get made, but Danny Jacobs stands no chance in this.
It's fight. Genetic.
It's just like Kell Brook.
You might end up getting two portions of crow, huh? No one. I mean, isn't boxing based on upsets? The man at least has the element that can possess that.
But if an upset happens, then we'll all talk about the upset. But we're talking about before the fight, which is why it would be such an upset, because we're thinking, at least myself, and even you are obviously don't think that he has much of a chance. So I don't disagree with you, but it's
I
not
think
really
he has
one.
way more than a puncher's chance.
No, he doesn't. Actually, he doesn't even have a puncher's chance, because
I agree.
Golovkin's never really been hurt. He never really been hurt. He's never been put down in his professional career. So I mean, when have you seen him rock? I mean, we've seen Danny Jacobs down the canvas several times. We've seen him hurt several times. Now, he did beat Peter Quillen, but Peter Quillen, you know, if you watched the Ndam fight, he was hurt several times in that fight. He went life and death with Ndam and put Ndam down several times, but, you know, and Peter Quillen was put down with Andy Lee, too. I mean, he doesn't have a great chin either, but Jacobs has no chance. I mean, if he fights him like Brook fought Triple G, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad, because he doesn't have the chin like Brook has to withstand the punishment. And it's going to end quick. If he tries to box with him, Triple G is going to outbox him. He's got a better jab. He's going to put the combinations together better. And when Jacobs feels that power, I mean, it's going to make all the difference. So
GTK, what about the fact
on Jacobs, but he's just wasting it.
What about the fact that this is Andre Rozier's second opportunity at Triple G, and this time with his star pupil, not with his second tier fighter in Curtis Stevens?
I would say it doesn't matter. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if you're objective, see, the thing is when you're on one or two sides, you know, it tends to skew your view. But you know, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm objective, you know, looking at the whole thing, and it's very clear to me that Danny Jacobs. I mean, I saw him with that chinchilla on in that video he posted a couple of days ago. I hope it was worth it because it's just a matter of how much beating he wants to take before he quits. He's either going to quit like Brooke or he's going to get beaten to submission. I mean, those are the only two outcomes of the fight.
Mm. Well,
yeah. And Ness, in one regard, you establish that these fighters want retirement money, but you don't go out, you don't get retirement money if you don't plan on retiring, right? So you know, you have to be careful with that too when you factor that in.
Well, listen, I say it because it sounds cool, and you obviously know they want duffel bags of loot, you know, but you and many others consider Golovkin a superstar. So when one is facing a superstar in Mayweather, Canelo, Pacquiao, Cotto, they all want to be paid. Martinez wanted to fight Cotto because it represented a payday, the same way that Golovkin wanted to fight Cotto and Canelo because it represents a payday.
But again, he's Golovkin's promoter. But the difference is that when you beat Floyd or lose to Floyd, you don't necessarily get career-ending beatings. You just get schooled, and it's acceptable because he's Floyd. But when you lose to Golovkin, you either are knocked out or forced to quit. So you know that's just how it seems to be, at least
right,
so far.
What about this, MD? We got a couple of other callers. Let me ask you this, right? You've obviously watched Golovkin closely. Has he ever faced anyone with the style of Jacobs? Eliminate the chin. Has he ever faced that style? And if so, when's the last time? Who is comparable to Daniel Jacobs on that resume? Eliminate the chin. We understand. He's chinny. We got it. But is he better than Gill? Is he better than Murray? Is he better than Stevens?
Saying better and saying does he have the specific style is two entirely different things, right?
Well, no, I'm not saying better to put either man down. I'm simply asking, you know, is he not more talented? Does he not present more? I mean, I guess him and Monroe could be put until Monroe continues to win. But I mean, is Monroe a comparable style? I think Monroe's a southpaw.
This is the thing I'm saying. You just have to assess it this way. If you take some of Golovkin's opponents, right, and just any of them, you know, whether it be David Lemieux or whether it be Martin Murray when he fought him, and say when he fought them, Curtis Stevens when he fought him, Daniel Gill when he fought him. If you matched him up with Daniel Jacobs, I think that you may favor Jacobs against some of them, if not all of them, but you would have to be thinking about, would he, you know, you wouldn't be so confident. The ease in which he dismissed all of these opponents with all of their styles, showing different types of facets in the game, I think should make you a little more convinced and maybe risking that $800 if you have it. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm coming from.
Man, I don't know. I want to see. Let's get out to these calls. Let's see if anyone is crazy enough to spend $800 to make $100 betting on Golovkin. I guess they could bet on the KO when the rest of the odds come out. Compa from Los Angeles. I think this is our compa. I'm going to go ahead and give him his intro anyway. Because
one second. The KO proposition will be probably like slightly better because I think they're factoring in that win with KO.
All right. Well, let's get out to some alumni and one of our Patreon boomerang callers, which gives him the ability to call in doubled up anytime he wants.
Hey,
Hey, yo, 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 what up, Mason MD? God damn, good looking out with another show, man, coming through in the clutch. But, man, you know, fucking, I'm hyped for the Danny Jacobs fight and Golovkin, you know, now, it's going to be a good fight. I'm excited, but check it out. As the way I see it, man, as long as Jacob doesn't go in there all scared and he goes in there with confidence, I think he has a chance to beat Golovkin. But if he goes in there all scared already, then he has no chance. But with that being said, I got Mr. Mexican Style to beat Golovkin. And that's my call. Good looking out, boxing boys.
Hey, compa, really quick. The odds are 8-1. Do you think that those make sense? Does Jacobs deserve to be an 8-1 underdog?
Oof. I mean, I'm not an odds maker, so shit. I guess so, man, but I'm not an odds maker.
All right, compa. Thanks for calling in, brother. Let me get to 786 here. You're live on TBV. Who's this?
Yo, this Hurricane Ray.
Hurricane Ray, what's going on? 8-1 odds on this fight with Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs. Do you think that they came right in on target?
I think it's about right. What I'm thinking is, man, how is Daniel Jacobs taking this right now, man? He's like, damn, 8-1. They're not even giving him a shot. I mean, he does have a puncher's chance. He has a good, a knockout percentage. You know, he's at 88%. But he's going to need... the Miracle Man's gonna need a miracle, man, to stop this this freight train, this locomotive of Triple G, you know?
Well, I think that Jacobs could take it a little better if he factors in the fact that odds makers are giving him a two times of a chance to beat him than they did David Lemieux.
The sad part is that they're not giving him a better shot than Kell Brook. I'm shocked.
That was a weird. I don't know why the odds were so close with the Kell Brook fight. It was odd.
Well, I think Kell Brook is a great boxer, man. He brought the fight to Golovkin. I mean, he's 147. That factored in the fact that he's not from that weight class, you know. But he gave him a great fight, even though he stopped in the fifth round. And man, I don't think Daniel Jacobs possesses the boxing skill to fight like a Kell Brook. He's gonna try to go in there and you know, rough him up. But man, once he gets hit with those shots, he's gonna be in a He's going to be like, damn, I'm going to be thinking about it twice. So he's going to be backing up, trying to fight off the back foot. So, man, thanks for the call, TVV. I appreciate that, man. And keep it coming, baby.
Queen Kong getting it. Y'all getting it next, boy.
Hurricane Ray, man. Thanks for calling in, brother. It looks like the world is on target with these odds, MD. And 90% of the time, the matchmakers got it right.
Yeah, I mean, they often have it right. They didn't have it right against the Bernard Hopkins fight. So, you feel me? Or the Tyson Fury fight. They get it right often. I think what the odds makers are even better at is the over-under for rounds. If you take a look at that historically, they're really good at that. That's where I'm really impressed with the odds makers, the factor in that. Because sometimes you're like, how the fuck did they know that? And whether it's, you know, just analysis or just overall, just, you know, consensus, they're pretty good at that one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 if you want to voice your opinion, you want to talk to us. We're talking odds. We're talking Las Vegas. Sky Sports has announced 8-1 favorite Gennady over the challenger, Daniel Jacobs. We're going back out to the phone lines. We got 202. Might be Marcus, right?
Yeah. Look, you know what? I feel bad after the last thing. Let me say this to you, and then I'm going to bring up something from a previous call real quick. Daniel Jacobs is a really good fighter, man. Dead serious, he's a really good fighter. And I think a couple calls before, we talked about what a division was, if it's a weak division, right? The fact of the matter is that a weak division doesn't mean that the contenders in between are weak. A weak division is a division and where the champions in the division are susceptible, and that if you can sign your fighter to fight that champion, that you have a good chance of your fighter becoming champion. If Triple G is not 160, Daniel Jacobs is the 160 king. He just in a wrong time period for this dude, you know? And then one time before we talked about...
One second. Would you 100% be convinced that he'd win against Billy Joe Saunders?
I do. I kind of think that the confidence in becoming champion, because I think Jacob's done really, I I mean, I don't think Jacobs is under the real perception that he's the middleweight champion of the world. And I think, like with Danny Garcia, Danny got better when he became the champion, right? So I do think that if the accolades and the attention and some of the stuff was being put on Danny Jacobs that's put on Golovkin, I actually think Danny would improve as a fighter. I actually think he would. But he's in the division with a guy who, when we able to step back, is mirroring actions that we could hold to historical achievements in boxing, period. Right? So, like, now we're in the moment. We don't really give Golovkin a lot of credit because people feel like they need to see him against somebody before they get on that train. And I understand that, too. But the fact of the matter is that when the British support their fighters, why they can sell 51,000 real quick in 20 minutes, is because the British still admire their losers. The British still admire their losers. And so what happens is the British fighters and other fighters, they want the truly best man to win. And they can accept their man losing if the best man won. A lot of times as American boxing and American boxing fan, we have a preconceived notion of who we want to win. And the whole world knows that sometimes our boxing organizations implement the person that we want to win. So it doesn't conjure the same type of interest when we kind of feel like we know what's going to happen.
Marcus, wouldn't you also say a factor of that is the fighters also they take that personification on. They at least in American fighters, they harbor that. Oh, like, you know, you say the perception does as well. They're the ones who bring that up more often than not.
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination. I think that promoters and people who have a vested interest in fighters tell fighters to become bigger in life and expect to win and say these things. And I'm not trying to stir another pot, but I just want to give you a microcosm. Let me just give you a prime example. Let's just say Kovalev and Ward, it was a close fight, right? Because it was a close fight after we looked at the judges' cards. But if people are saying that it was a close fight competitively each round, which a lot of people are saying, I think that whenever the judges gave a 7-round streak to Ward and an 8-round streak to Ward on each judge's scorecard, it says the opposite of that. It doesn't say that, because if you see two competitive people fighting, then you find a reason in each round to give one round to another person, not even including just having someone being a champion, giving them the round, say, oh, it was a close round, give it to the champ. So when people see that with us, and you look at the people who have commented about it, who weren't vested and who are not in Ward's camp and didn't want to lose interviews with him, said that, hey, man, I don't think he fought the fight to beat the champion. I don't think Ward won. And the public knows this and the world perception knows this. And then when we don't stand up and say, hey, that was the wrong thing to do, and they don't see us do it, then the public, it transfers to the public, and the public say, man, what's the point of me paying for this fight? They want Slim to win anyway, so they're going to make him win. So, you know, so the kind of suspense without actual knockout taking place is why our fanship is down compared to other places, you know? But I just wanted to call back in because I was saying, because Ness had brought up before about a weak division. It's like tennis, you could be the number 15 player for your whole life and make a great living. There's no real urge to push you up to number one. If you're 15, you're just 15. But in boxing, the idea is that you're supposed to move up through the division to find out if you're a contender and or a champion. And if you're not, you pretty much replace that after that. You become a gatekeeper and then your career is over. Danny Jacobs, I really think, would be somewhat of the middleweight king. He may have some back and forth with Billy Joe, but I think if Canelo, if Daniel Jacobs had been the champion in the same situation where he was a mandatory like Golovkin, I don't think Canelo would have went back to 54. I think he would have fought Jacobs. I think he would have saw Jacobs as more vulnerable than Golovkin, but I still think Jacobs would be I think he'd have been a really good 60 champ without Golovkin around. But Golovkin's here, so it's all a wrap.
Marcus, so
I just wanted
great call, brother.
Yeah, let me just address like 2 points really quick that he just said. I think the first thing he said that was the first point about being in a weak division, right? And I think a lot of it is weak. And I understand where people are coming from, but this is not a weak fight in the sense that he is fighting a top five guy. But I think that I'm being optimistic that the September fight's going to happen. From what Tom's been saying, what the other side's been saying, it seems to me it's going to happen. Now, if Golovkin beats Canelo September, people are asking him to move up. But then maybe the financial reward and his namesake will be worth it because I know that his first pay-per-view didn't do well, but he's trending upwards. If you look at the international market and if you look at all other metrics, Golovkin is an international star. You could use the term superstar if you choose or not to. And I think a lot of those guys who are at 154 who are moving up, extremely talented guys, whether it be one of the Charlo brothers, whether it be Andrade, you know, those guys will be wanting to fight Golovkin. So I think that the division will become stronger once Canelo and Golovkin happens, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if he beats Canelo, he becomes the star. It's just that he becomes Canelo, instance, or Mayweather, or Pacquiao, or Cotto. The problem is he's just more of a definitive winner. Like, you know, normally his fights, the odds are this way. Let's get back out to these callers, though. We got a few more. We got 812. You're live with TBV. Who's this?
Ness, what up? This is Joe, man. Got back on with you, man. I dropped right when you picked me up earlier, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Blog Talk is giving us some issues, but, man, I'm glad you're on now. What's going on? Talk to us.
Yeah, I just I don't – the odds, to me, I mean, I like Jacobs, but it seems about right, man. I mean, Golovkin's just a – he's a machine right now, man. I don't see anybody touching him, man. I mean, I love Jacobs. I would love Jacobs to beat the man, but I got to be a realist. I mean, you know, I was crazy when I picked Cal Brook, and that was more of my heart than my, you know, than my brains. But we got to be honest, man. This guy is walking through everybody and has not even shown that he can be hurt. And if he is getting touched up, he still comes forward. So I just think Jacobs, he'll do decent, man. But those odds seem about right, man. I just think Triple G's just on a whole nother level, man. He's on a whole nother level. And I got to respect that. I can't fake around the funk, man. I mean, he's the real deal. So, but that's my call, man. So I'm just over here working, man. That's why I get in touch in with you guys. But are you going to do something else with the Joshua thing again? Or are you end up taking calls on Skype?
Well, the Joshua thing is over, brother. We're talking just the Golovkin favorites now. And
I will promise you, we will do a lot more shows on the Joshua Klitschko fight between now and the fight, because there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Definitely. I mean, they're going to be releasing the other 35,000 tickets January 16th, so we'll probably be around for that one. 409, you're live on TBV. We're talking Golovkin Jacobs. Betting line opens up. 8-1 favorite is Triple G. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to call and get my thoughts about that as far as, you know, the 8-1. I absolutely think that's crazy. I think I honestly feel like it's a 50-50 fight because it's, you know, Jacobs, you know, his amateur background, you know, I agree his chin may be a little suspect, maybe, but we've also seen him take hard blows too at the same time. So,
did Jacobs compete in the Olympics?
You know, I just think it's those all.
What is his amateur? Like, I'm sure he has a decent amateur background, but like, who has a better amateur background?
Well, I mean, he had like, I forget how many amateur fights, and then his amateur record was like ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean? So,
you're talking about Golovkin's?
I don't necessarily know about the, no, I'm talking Jacob.
Oh, okay.
So getting to the odds, I just think the odds are ridiculous. I honestly, like I said, I think it's almost 50-50, if not 45-55. So I will be placing a bet. If the odds don't change, I'm pretty sure they'll get closer during, you know, as the fight gets closer. But if they stay the same, you can guarantee I'm making a bet, a crazy one.
I think the odds could get further away. There's a chance that could happen too.
Yeah, I was going to ask that very same question. Do you think as the fight gets closer and we start to see footage and hear interviews, do the odds get further apart?
I think there's going to be a lot of sharks that are going to do what I'm saying, because I'm a student. I don't have that type of money to put $80,000 on someone like Golovkin, but there are sharks who are willing to risk $80,000 if they think that it's a guaranteed $10,000.
Yeah, I just don't think it's guaranteed with the power of Jacobs. You're crazy. That's, yo, 80,000 to make 10 when Jacobs is sporting like an 88%.
Listen, they don't call it betting. They don't call it betting if there's no risk involved. But I'm saying is the people.
Yeah, well, this 88% knockout ratio is far too much risk, I think.
Okay.
I mean, look, JD's calling in saying the opposite.
I just want to say this. I just want to say this, man. I just want to give a shout out to HBO for hyping this man up so much, to having everybody thinking that this dude is the second coming of boxing. Like, HBO have really brainwashed the masses.
Okay. Wait a minute.
So what happens when Jacobs doesn't win? Is HBO lying then?
No, without a doubt. Look, if he beats him, I still give Canelo a chance in beating Triple G. I just don't think he's like that, me personally. I don't
listen.
Like, beating David Lemieux and Murray and Gill and, you know, beating those guys don't put you at the level that you guys like MD are making this guy out to be.
Okay, but Ness, don't cut him off. I just want him to answer this.
You have to beat somebody like Canelo and Jacob.
Okay, I just want to hear your quick response with this. Now, you think that his resume is, even if you think that his opponents have been handpicked and whatever, why does he consistently, what we always say, he does what he has to do? Do you give that any, like, in other words, consistency and looking good and finishing a guy is a given with him. It's not a given with anybody else. Fucking, I know Isaac Chalamba is not a bum, but someone like Kovalev had an issue with Chalamba and didn't stop him. So, I mean, you have to at least acknowledge the fact that you don't like the opponents, but you have to give him some credit for that, right?
Listen, I give you this. I give you this, and I'm going to leave y'all with this. I just don't, like, I think it's the reason that he's fighting the type of guys that he's fighting. Because you can easily, if you want to make the fight, you can easily get a well-known fighter that you know that's going to boost this man's career. You can easily match your fighter up with that fighter. But for some reason, and I think I know the reason, they haven't done that. It's a reason behind everything. That's all I'm saying.
What fighter could they have gotten to boost Golovkin's popularity sooner?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the Canelo fight could have already happened. I think they could have got one of Canelo's opponents like Lara and beat him easily and said, hey,
Lara's fighting a rabbi.
You couldn't. Your
fight, Lara's fighting a rabbi. He's fighting.
MD, don't cut him off, MD. Hold on a minute. Because what he's trying to say is you beat a comparable opponent to Gennady Golovkin, you can say, look at what I did that you didn't do. Well,
they have yet to prove that.
In that instance, he's saying do it to Laura so that he can show Canelo, like, look, you fought Laura and went 12 rounds. I destroyed Laura.
Yeah, but it seems like Laura has no – whatever. But I hear what you're saying. But my whole thing is, again, there's not a guy – like, I just think that people they use Andre and I also want to say one more thing is that Daniel – I'll guarantee you – that Daniel Jacobs will make more money fighting Golovkin than Kovalev made against Andre Ward. And I think that's important to understand, too.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. But that's all I got, man. I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to HBO.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in. We're going to 904. JD's been with us for a long time, and let me tell you, he has been always high on Daniel Jacobs.
But Ness, let me say one more thing before it continues. It's also important to note, and this is a fact, that Golovkin fights in the middleweight division, and Canelo has not fought one middleweight, so it's kind of difficult to match them with similar opponents. Am I correct?
No, when you have Islam de Laura calling you out for 2 years, and you've already
again he's fighting a rabbi.
You've already fought 54-pounders and 47-pounders. You could easily fight a 54-pounder to have a barometer comparable fight with Canelo Alvarez and show the public that you are doing what he is not doing. But that is JD's, hypothetical scenario. I think that Golovkin already made that statement by knocking guys out in the fashion that he's doing at a weight class above. I do understand, though, JD's point, because, you know, some of the guys that Golovkin has been knocking out, we would easily pick Laura to beat. But look, Laura's, you know, he wants 160 pounders. He just wants big names. I mean, I'd say give him the shot so he doesn't have to fight a rabbi. He's fighting a rabbi for a reason. You know it and I know it. Don't act like that's what he wants to do. It's because there's no one he can fight at 54 and he's not going. Well,
according to him, he's making his money. He said this. He's making his money versus the rabbi. Then he's trying to make a fight against Andrade in the summertime. He's a 54 pounder. He's staying there. I don't know why Lars.
Exactly. He's only moving up to 60 for big names. Canelo, you know, Triple G. And Google it. He is one other name. He actually did an interview with us, Sean Zatel. It's on the Boxing Voice. Listen, let me get to one of our, obviously, patrons.
Hello, A-Ness.
What up?
Hello. Hey, can you come back to me?
Sure. He's at work, ladies and gentlemen. 909, you're live on TBV. Who's this?
Yo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Hey, I don't think that y'all giving my boy Jacobs enough credit, man. This 8-1 shit, that shit is fucking nonsense, bro. Look, we all know he can crack. And we've seen what Brooks did to Triple G. If you stand him, I don't think the dude could really take too much of a punch, man. What you think about that, Ness?
Well, he could definitely take a punch, in my opinion, man. See what Curtis Stevens hit him with? Even Brooke launched him off his feet, and he didn't take him down. No, he could take a shot. I mean, I don't even think he's been like – he has – taking shots where he's stepped back to regroup, but he hasn't ever showed like his legs not.
He
being,
never loses control.
Forget control. He's never showed his legs not being under him.
Well, that's control.
Okay. But do you think that'd be the right game plan for Jacob to come forward like Brooks did and just kind of like bang with him? Or do you think he's switch it up a little bit, come forward, then if he survives that round, next round, go back, box a little bit, you know what I'm saying, keep him off balance?
Man, listen. The game plan is going to be under him.
Yeah, and let me
with that one.
And I just want to bring up one. Well, I'll let you finish your call. Sorry.
No, go ahead, bro. I'm listening. Go ahead.
I just want to bring up, you know, Daniel Jacobs' amateur career that people talk about it being amazing, and he's not a bad amateur, but his record is 137-7. He won the Junior Olympics National Championship, and then he won a Golden Gloves. Now, Golovkin's amateur career obviously has a silver medal. It has a 350-something-5 record, and he's won multiple world champions. So I have this thing right here. So his amateur record is 345-5. Not to mention the fact that a lot of things that people don't have in the amateurs – or don't necessarily have to prove in the amateurs because of the fighting style, is a power and a chin. Those are not questions necessarily of Golovkin's pedigree. So this is why a lot of people, like myself, see the greatness that Golovkin provides in the ring. So I think that people, they often believe the power, is the only thing that he provides. But I beg to differ because, you know, all of these other legitimate factors.
Okay, one thing is this. And a lot of the Golovkin fights that I've seen, like I was there for the Dominique Wade fight and shit like that. I'm in Los Angeles. But I've seen that he'll drop his hands and he'll let people, you know what I'm saying, hit him, or that's what he say he lets them do, right? He'll let them get those punches. Do you think that he will sit there and do that with a Danny Jacobs?
I think he might do that. I'm not saying he won't do that. He might do that, but I think the second he feels like he's about to lose control, I think that he will switch it up if that happens to occur. I don't think Daniel Jacobs has anything he hasn't seen. And let's not forget that up in Big Bear, he gets great sparring. And have you ever heard of a story? I know this is ridiculous. Have you ever heard of somebody drop Golovkin in sparring or hurt him in sparring, or I've seen him knocked out? I've seen him handle. I've seen that video of him. I know Chavez is a not at the same level as Golovkin, but I think you guys should. That was many years ago. I think you guys should watch that video and just see how good he is, even in sparring.
I'm gonna have to check that video out. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out.
It's an awesome sparring video.
That Jacobs. I'm gonna check it out, bro. I just think that Jacobs, man, with that power that he possesses in both hands, I think if Golovkin sits.
Hey, brother, you're going to have to subscribe to the YouTube channel here so that you can get those notifications when we come back live so you can get another opportunity to finish up that call. We're giving out rounds here.
And Ness, how do you feel about an idea? Like, that might be a possible – well, you guys could continue to hit thumbs up, but that's not a bad idea for a Patreon, is to maybe do an all angles on the sparring between that, because that video is available, and it's very rare that a sparring of that degree of two guys who – have names like that.
Chavez and Golovkin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing with Chavez is just like Jacobs, right? Everyone has their asterisk next to it. The thing with Chavez is, when has he ever been 100%? So what are we really going to learn from that sparring show?
That Golovkin has no issue fighting a guy who's bigger than him, which just, I don't know. I'm just saying.
If that were true, he would have taken the Ward fight when it was offered to him.
I'm just saying that a lot of guys, there's always gym rooms like that. I mean, and Floyd's one of the best fighters ever, but Floyd even had that rumor that, who's the name of that guy that knocked Floyd out in sparring?
Earl Spence.
No, somebody else who was much less.
Earl Spence gave him a black eye. Oh, Paul Spadafora.
Paul Spadafora, yeah, he's the dude. Like, and that's
what sparring proves, that sparring.
Correct,
sparring.
Correct. Have you ever heard of a sparring story that Golovkin has been hurt or dropped or anything like that? And we both pay a lot of attention to the sport. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's just like people are really trying to look, they're trying to go leaps and bounds to discredit him. Not saying that's last caller did, but I just, you know, I don't know. Somebody doing better investigating.
Back out to Gompa so we can wrap it up. Gompa, talk to me. Gompa, Los Angeles.
Hello.
What's going on, brother?
Yo. Hey, what up, guys? I just forgot to say, man, on my last call, I forgot to say, hey, it's off topic, but hey, Ness, can you talk to like one of the PVC guys, or you know, tell them what's up with the? We need a boxing game, man, ASAP. Hopefully, in 2017, you know, PVC could give us a boxing game.
They wasted all their budget on that PVC Thanksgiving commercial.
All right, compa, we'll see what we do. I do miss fight night, that's for sure, bro. Those were the days back when I did used to play video games. Listen,
this you're talking about a video game. I thought he was talking about like a PBC program.
Hey, we just got one last caller snuck in. You want it?
Go ahead.
All right, caller, you're on 340.
Yo, what's good? TC, El Dominicano en la casa. What's up, yo?
TC, what up?
Hey, yo, man, this Triple G stuff is crazy, young, to say the least.
For sure.
It's like
8-1. What do you think about those odds?
8-1? Yo, that's like freaking Floyd Mayweather going up against Rod Salka, and Rod Salka being favored 8-1. I'm not saying that Triple G's on that level, but come on, yo. You going to put my man Daniel Jacobs and basically put dirt on his name like that? 8-1?
All right. Let me, because I, no offense, I know a lot more about, it seems to me I know a lot more about odds than you do. Not discrediting you, I'm just saying. Just put this in perspective. Like, when Golovkin fought, Dominique Wade, he was 100-1 underdog.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, I mean, 8-1 odds, I don't think is disrespectful to Danny Jacobs. I think it just shows the level of between the two. And again, it's important to note again that right now the odds could change, of course, in any realm, that he is a 4-1 favorite against Canelo.
Go ahead, TC.
You know, I can understand that. You know, I can understand that, you know. But, I mean, just from my liking, 8-1 is a little much for me, man.
Well, we definitely understand you, but the majority of the callers would be disagreeing with you, TC, but make sure you subscribe right here to the YouTube channel so you can get those notifications. We will be pumping out more hot topics throughout the day or throughout the week for sure. This was a good one. Definitely one that was going under the radar. I don't think many people knew that the betting line had already opened up and that Gennady was opening up at 8-1 favorite. So if you're like MD and you're a big spender, you know, you're a Mayweather type guy, you know what I mean? Go ahead and put down 800 to make 100 or 80,000 to make 10,000 or Mayweather and MD.
Or if you believe in the miracle man, you know, defying the betting odds, you should.
Yeah, I mean, yo, it's easier to put down $10 to make 80 than it is to put down 80 to make 10.
Yep, exactly. And that's why they call it gambling, because there has to be a risk. They're not, Vegas is not giving away money. So when I say that it's free money, there's obviously a risk because any man could defeat any man, but I think that your money's pretty safe.
Well, again, you have to be Mayweather for that.
I don't fight for legacy. I don't fight for none of that. I fight for that check. I'm in the check cashing business.
And I ain't got no checks to be putting up.
Oh, I think that that lie affected boxing in a negative way, because I believe that Floyd Mayweather fighted for way more than a check. I think that he wanted to be the best ever, and he believes he is. So people call me a Floyd Mayweather hater, but I do give him credit when he needs to be credit given.
Look at JD. Damn. Now you see, those numbers still don't convince me, but I can see how a guy like MD, or not MD, but the guy that lives in MD's world would do that. 300 to win 2,400 if you bet on Daniel Jacobs. No, thank you. But damn, that sounds like mortgage, yeah. Car payment, little groceries.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous because you might as well give $300 to like the Children's Wish Foundation, because that money is just gone.
Yo, he's got the power. 88% knockout ratio, buddy. 88% knockout ratio is all I can tell you, man.
Yeah, man.
Lufkin's ratio, 92%. Damn.
What's his ratio since we've been watching him fight?
I don't know. He's got like 18 straight, 15 100%. Listen, I am your host, NessGTO. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at NessGTO, and find a good doctor at Good Doctor.
You can find me at BoxingMD1. No, I just wanted to look up because I didn't know this for a fact, but if Golovkin's non-knockouts, it's an interesting thing. I just want to go again. The last Golovkin non-knockout was an 8-rounder, so that's important to note as well, because anything over 8 rounds, Golovkin has knocked a guy out, okay?
I know. Murray's the only one that went 10, right? And Kasim Uma?
Kasim Uma went 9 rounds, I think.
Oh, damn. So Murray's the long soldier. Let's see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, remember to subscribe, because
he went 10 rounds.
We might be coming back, so make sure you subscribe. Later.